And we're here with Dr. Caitlin Rivers, an epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, discussing your questions about how the U.S. can begin to reopen. Let's go to this question from Carolita Johnson in Kingston, New York.
Well, I have to avoid all my elderly and older and immunosuppressed friends till there's a vaccine. I miss my friends, but when life goes back to normal, I'll be exposed to a lot of people in mass transit and cafes, etc., and I don't want to endanger my friends. Right now, I joke with them by quoting the Johnny Cash song saying, "I'll see you when the roses bloom again."
Dr. Rivers, this is such a sad but pressing sentiment. When friends are immunocompromised or have underlying health issues, what considerations do we have to take even when the country does reopen?
Yeah, I think it's so important that we do think about the most vulnerable among us and how to protect them. Unfortunately, I don't have a date for when we can all get together again. I know it's so hard. I've missed out on several planned visits with family just because it wasn't safe for them to travel or for us to be together. So I think we're all just trying to get by with Skype and Zoom and whatnot. And I'm glad those tools are available because a few years ago, you know, that wouldn't have been possible, but it is a bummer.
But I suppose that even when healthy people are encouraged to congregate, whether it's in groups of 10 or groups of 50, people with underlying health conditions may still not be able to.
I think that's right. And I think it is important that people who are healthy or otherwise low risk still see themselves as a bridge to those who are most vulnerable. So we all need to be reducing our risk and trying to stay safe, if not for ourselves, then for those people.
Our next caller also has a question about what happens when parts of the country do start to open back up. Let's listen.
My name is Carla Stern. I live in El Cerrito, outside of San Francisco, California. And my question is about public transportation. The trains and buses in San Francisco are packed shoulder to shoulder with barely room to move during commute hours. What ideas are out there for dealing with busy public transportation?
This is true of so many cities beyond San Francisco. Dr. Rivers, have you heard anything?
A couple ideas. There's things that you can be doing, which is good hand hygiene, washing, using hand sanitizer, minimizing contact with high touch surfaces, which means trying not to touch the bars, and also going off peak hours if possible. And then there's another category of things that we can all be doing, like wearing a non-medical cloth mask, which doesn't protect the wearer, we think, but could protect other people if someone is unknowingly infected. And also staying home if you're sick or have been in contact with someone who's sick. Those are things that we should all be doing.
And in our last minute, we have a question from Liz in Auburn, Alabama, who asks about how long a general shutdown has to last to be effective, especially when some parts of the country are shutting down and others are not.
You know, we know that any changes we make today won't show up in the data for a few weeks because the time it takes from when someone gets infected until they first show symptoms is 5 days on average, but it could be up to 2 weeks. And then it takes a few more days to feel crummy enough to go to the doctor and to get a test. So for those reasons, we know that anything we do today, we're not going to see the evidence of for a couple weeks. And so I think we need to kind of lead with that patience and understand that it takes time.
Dr. Caitlin Rivers, epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, thank you for answering these questions with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And if you have more questions, we want to help. Go to npr.org/nationalconversation, or on Twitter, you can use the hashtag NPRConversation.